Oh, good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12. It's the first day of July 2020. Who would have thought? Almost halfway through the year. Tomorrow, the midpoint is... Well, actually, it's midnight tonight because it's a leap year this year. Since the last update, no further confirmed positive tests for coronavirus. 41 days now. No active cases. We've had 336 confirmed cases, 6,467 concluded tests, 24 people awaiting results, and 7 people awaiting a test now. Tim Baker, MHK, our guest today on The Man in Line, the Infrastructure Minister, is with us. And Tim Baker, I'm just wondering what your view of coronavirus has been. How do you think the government's handled what we've had?
Well, it's very interesting, Andy. I mean, I've obviously had the perspective from being outside the council ministers initially and then now within. And I've got to say, I think we've done collectively as an island, done a really good job in terms of dealing with it. But I think we haven't concluded the journey. We're part way through, and the journey is changing from being primarily a health related challenge to now being an economic challenge. And for me, we've got to recognise that, and we've got to have the same sense of urgency to deal with those issues as we've had with the health challenge. And that needs everybody to pull together.
4 weeks, I think you've been in the job. Is that right?
It is exactly 4 weeks.
Did you expect it?
No. When Chris Thomas. When Chris Thomas fell out with Comyn, I did think that it was likely there was likely to be a ministerial change, and I felt as though I would be in with a shout of potentially getting that. But I never thought that I'd be offered the infrastructure role. But when the Chief Minister offered me that, I was absolutely delighted to take it.
Is it what you thought it would be?
Yes, I've been in the department for 3.5 years, Andy. So I've obviously worked very closely with officers and with the previous minister, but. It changes when you become a minister. You're suddenly exposed to much wider elements and much wider issues. And of course, the whole Comyn element to it is brand new to me as well. So yeah, enjoying it.
Okay, let's go to Jed. I think who is first with us on the Man of Life. Hello, Jed. You're with Tim Baker, MHK.
Hi. Hello, Tim. Thank you for coming on the show and engaging with the public.
Thank you, Jeff.
What I want to ask you is, you've inherited or you've been appointed as minister of a department that is under a lot of public scrutiny and features a lot in the local press and social media and so forth. Mm-hmm. I think it could be argued that the reputation amongst the island isn't brilliant. I think that would be fair to say, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that, Jed.
Okay. Could you just tell us what are going to be your steps to address that and improve the reputation of the department and perhaps inspire confidence around the Isle of Man that money's being spent wisely and projects are being thought out?
Well, you make some very important points there, Jed, and that's absolutely to the core of what I want to achieve in my time as the minister. So there's a number of elements to that, and I think, you know, the fact I'm here today engaging in this manner is part of that. But the biggest thing is to make sure that we're focusing on issues that really matter, and that we are thinking through the solutions and then delivering them in a proper manner. But we need to improve our communication to the public. And I think that comment actually applies to government more generally as well, but particularly for DOI, because DOI is involved in so many different things. It's a very operationally focused department, and it's often the case that the department is doing things and not always taking the public with it. So communication, I've always believed, is something that you have to really work hard at, and you have to try and be on the front foot. Too often the department's on the back foot, and actually it may or may not be doing the right thing, but actually doesn't get to communicate why it's doing things in a timely manner or a coherent manner, and therefore the inference is that the department doesn't know what it's doing. Or
Jed, just tell me what's behind your question.
Well, the worry is that the governance is going to continue, and I'd be looking for the minister to take firm action and actually say, look, we've got points 1 to 10 here that need addressing. We've got all these issues regarding bus service, steam railway, highways, communication, consultation. I won't sort of forensically look at, you know, these projects around the island because we all know where they are. And it wouldn't be fair for Mr. Baker to perhaps, you know, talk about that. It's just a case of what are you going to do? There must be a core of principles that need to be addressed right at the top, because otherwise there will just be a further cycle and we're going to have some problems.
Okay. Just, well, 4 weeks into the job, what have you seen so far, Mr. Baker?
Well, I think Jez touched on an important point, Andy. I mean, the department does do so many different things, and just in that short list of topics, he touched on buses, highways, didn't mention the prom particularly, but, you know, major projects, steam trains. There's such a mass of different things in the department. What I've done in my first few weeks is sit down and try and craft a clear game plan. I've been through that with officers and with the political members of the department, which was middle of last week, and that's to basically provide a real sense of direction and focus on the things that are important.
It's an enormous department, though. You've got highway maintenance, improvement, mapping, waste management, air and sea ports, properties, Coast Guard, search and rescue, quarries, raw materials, infrastructure development, the construction industry. It's like an octopus.
It is a huge department, and I think some of those things bring more challenges than others. So for me, it's all about having a very clear game plan, focusing on where you think the significant things are, and to make sure that the time and the resources are put into the things that really matter. So, you know, I came out very early after my appointment to commit to getting the prom done, to free up the tourist season for next year, so that we weren't presenting a huge construction site to the visiting public next year. I also made it very clear that we're committed to continue the horse tram extension in line with the will of Tynwald. So trying to be really clear and to try and set out the principles, give that direction to the officers, because you need to have that clear direction of travel. There's a finite amount of resources, there's a finite amount of money and labour. We have to use it in the right way.
Okay, Jed, thanks for calling us today.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the prom then. Will it be finished on time?
I've made it very clear that my expectation is for the department and the contractor to deliver the scheme by Easter next year. And as part of that, as you know, Andy, we've taken out the single track horse tram from Broadway down to the sea terminal. That's going to be done over the following winter. So it's an ambitious requirement, but my firm belief is unless you're ambitious and brave, you don't achieve anything. So,
has anything else been found underneath the prom that we didn't know was there?
In recent weeks, there's been no major surprises, and I think that those issues come about very early in the scheme when you're actually going into the ground. This is a major construction project, and those sort of projects are always fraught with challenge and complexity, but there's been nothing that's come out in the 4 weeks I've been minister that says that where we're going is fundamentally out of the question. There's a lot of work going on. You can see the activity levels have raised on the prom. Obviously, it's brought challenges as a result of the decisions we've made to allow the prom to proceed and give the contractor what they need, which is a less constrained site. We made the decision about going one way on the prom, which has brought some traffic issues, which I'm not going to shy away from, but we've diverted 10,000 vehicle movements a day onto other streets in Douglas. That is going to have an impact. But if we want the prom done, we have to be prepared to be bold and to be intentional about it.
You know, the Isle of Man, there have always been Manx whispers about the government falling out with the contractor and legal issues and this not being done and that being done. Are you and the contractors on good terms?
Yes. I mean, we've had a contractual framework in place right from the early days. This has been a properly managed project. When the COVID situation arose, obviously that wasn't planned for. But the I've got to say the working relationship between the department and its partners in the scheme, so people like Manx Utilities are clearly heavily invested in this in this scheme, and the contractor and their subcontractors is in a really good place now, and everybody's focused on the job in hand, which is to get the thing done.
Tim Baker, MHK, Minister for Infrastructure, is with us today. And John, you're live with Tim Baker.
Hi. I would just like to ask the Minister one simple question. Why have I just paid £424 road tax when the same vehicle on the mainland would be £195?
What vehicle do you have,
well,
John?
Over 100% more.
What vehicle do you have?
Well, this particular one is a motorhome, but we have two other vehicles as well, but we still pay way over the odds to what we would pay on the mainland.
Well, what I would say, John, is the road tax for the Isle of Man is set on the Isle of Man for the Isle of Man. It's got to generate a level of income for the department. How it's carved up between different vehicles reflects the structure that we've currently got around the charges. That is under review.
Who makes those decisions?
Well, ultimately, they're a government decision. Right. I mean, it's down to the department to formulate its proposals, and there have been discussions about how we adapt that going forward, because clearly, one of the big climate change issues is around the emissions from motor vehicles. Do we need to change the way in which we do tax? But what I would say is it's very easy to pick the things that are less attractive about being on the Isle of Man, but actually you've got to look at the other side of things as well, and you should be comparing the whole tax position, not just one particular duty or charge.
Okay, you're also in the MUA as well, Tim Baker. How are the reservoirs?
The reservoirs, actually, if we'd been talking about this last week, I'd have been extremely concerned, but I'm delighted to say, as a result of the weather we had over the last weekend, which perhaps wasn't great for everybody, but from a Manx Utilities point of view, it was a tremendous boost, and one that has really moved us in the right direction. So we've actually, what we would expect to see day by day, week by week, is a continual decline in the reservoir stocks, but actually we've gone from 66% full to 74% full, which is really pleasing, and actually takes us back marginally above the level that we were at when we introduced the hosepipe ban.
Are all reservoirs in commission at the moment?
So essentially the water supplies come from two reservoirs, which is West Baldwin and Sulby. There are some historic reservoirs around the island where there isn't water treatment at the moment. As part of contingency, we've looked at...
That's a Kringle and Clips.
Yeah, and also one just out on the outskirts of Ramsey as well. Those don't actually form part of the drinking water supply, but we have actually been looking at can we tanker the water from there if we need to, and yes, we can. It's probably not an ideal solution, but we can do that and then put it into the treated water supply.
The next question is, when's the hosepipe ban going to finish?
Well, at the moment we're reviewing it on a weekly basis. I think if we get the sort of rainfall that we've had over the past few days, then that's going to be it's brought forward the prospect of that being a realistic outcome. And I understand the weather's forecast to be quite heavy rain on Friday as well. So I would like to remove it, but what I won't do is allow it to be removed and then find that we have almost celebrated too early and we've got to put it back in again. That's not what we're going to do. So,
okay. Deborah, who designed Governor's Dip to Glencrutchery?
Okay, so obviously what we've, I think what Deborah's talking about there is the adaptations that we've brought in response to the problem going one way, where we implemented some traffic mitigation measures around both, particularly around Governor's Bridge and also around St Ninian's. Those were designed to ease the flow of traffic, which would otherwise have occurred because, as I mentioned earlier, Andy, we've moved 10,000 vehicle movements southbound from the prom. If the department had done nothing, then the traffic situation, in our opinion, would have been very, very much worse than it currently is. And I think the criticism should have been that the department wasn't on the job. So looked at where the traffic pinch points were expected to come. Modifications were made to road layouts, traffic light signals, the lanes, filter lanes, bus lanes, etc. Those were designed in-house by the department's highways officers, with a clear view that we needed to get something in and we needed to see how we needed to adapt that as we went on. And you've seen a number of adaptations go in subsequently, and we all knew that the initial reaction from the public was going to be extreme and it was going to be negative. But equally, we knew from previous experience that things would settle over a period of time. So you'll recall probably a year or so ago, we had issues in the south of the island with a one-way route around Ganzi, and there was all sorts of calls for it to be reversed and abandoned and everything else. Department held its nerve, and actually a couple of weeks later it was fine. The job got done, and everybody was reasonably happy. And you know, that's the reality of it. The department is responsible for things that actually affect people's day-to-day lives, and we have to make hard choices. So we've done that. We believe that what we've done has made it better. The situation's kept under continuous review. But if we'd done nothing, the situation would have been far worse.
And the one way, I think, is until on the promenade until the 14th of December, is that right?
So there is an element of one way through that period. The one way reduces from early September when the children go back to school. So it will still be one way for a portion of the prom, and the northern part will go back to two way. So it'll be an improvement, but yes, there are one way arrangements for a long period. And the simple reason is, if we want the prom done, we have to give the contractor the chance of doing the work in as unconstrained a manner as possible. The problems we've had with COVID-19 and the impact of the tourist season gave us an opportunity to really push on hard and to get it delivered, so that we're open for business next tourist season, which is where we want to be. And that was supported by the rest of government, that it was important that we did deliver in that time frame.
23 minutes past 12 on The Man in Line. We're streaming live, by the way, on Manx Radio's YouTube channel and also on Facebook and at manxradio.com. Hello, Peter, you're live with Tim Baker, MHK.
Hello, good morning. I'm sorry I'm going to bring points up that's been mentioned, but I've only just come on. I'm a taxi driver, so I spend more time on my roads than most people. Quite a few things. First of all, the St Ninians. You mentioned it was supposed to aid traffic flow. Well, how do you possibly aid traffic flow by restricting the size of the road?
You say restricting the size of the road. We've actually got two lanes at the St Ninians Junction coming down Glencrutchery Road with a left filter lane, which is prioritised for buses and cycles. And I suspect, Peter, as a taxi driver, you're probably frustrated about the fact that that is for the buses.
Yeah, but why can't taxis use a bus lane?
Because they're not buses.
Can't use? I mean, they're public transport, though, aren't they?
You can make that case. I mean, the issue would be then, though, how do you regulate that? How do you make sure that private hire taxis are the only ones that are using it?
Right. Okay, just a point. Okay, Peter, go on.
Gary, well, you say it's two lanes. It's only two lanes for five cars. Then it's single lane all the way up to the grandstand, and the queues there are tremendous, and they're not going to get any less.
So
to do that to try and persuade people to go on buses and bikes is ludicrous.
No, I accept your point that it does benefit people on buses and bikes, and we need to actually reduce the flow of motor vehicles through Douglas, and that was one of the themes that came out of the coronavirus period, was that people actually were starting to cycle and walk much more. And that plays very much to the climate change agenda and the public health agenda. And actually, most cars that are driven into Douglas are driven in the morning. They sit there all day, and then they're driven home at the end of the day. We need to be smarter around the way we move around the island. And you know, taxis are part of that. Buses are part of that. Walking and cycling is part of that. And you know, there's a clear desire to make our our island more livable and to address the issues around emissions and air quality, etc., etc. So we have to make some choices around that. The other point I'd make, yep, Peter, is that the St. Ninian's Junction, that is where you're pointing out there is a pinch point in traffic. If all the traffic flowed through St. Ninian's seamlessly, it would concertina up further down into Douglas and potentially cause significant issues on those roads and potentially with an increased amount of traffic being diverted onto minor residential roads.
Okay,
well,
Peter, what was your other point, Peter?
Well, we'll agree to disagree on that. The second point is that as regard the promenade, JCK are doing a section of Growdle Road, and in 200 yards, they seem to have twice as many men as the whole of the promenade. Now, that's a comment I get in back in my car, that you never see anybody working on the promenade.
Well, that's common. That's happened a lot, hasn't it?
I would have agreed with you with that comment in the very early stages of the promenade, when the contractor was severely constrained from the amount of the site that it could work. I don't believe that comment today is true, and certainly the contractor knows.
From Victoria Road 10 minutes ago up into the Empire Drive, there were 12 men. And I say there were 12 men. There weren't 12 men working. There were 12 men. But, and again, I'm just reiterating what everybody says. But as regards the roads in general, especially in Douglas, the gentleman complained about paying more than he's worth for his motorhome. Mm-hmm. You would expect better roads, but to be honest, the potholes in Douglas are quite disgusting. Absolute third world.
Okay, that's and you must get potholes thrown at you all the time.
Absolutely, and you know, they're a very visible indication of the condition of the roads, and we need to be far better at improving the conditions of our roads, and part of that is we need a far more planned approach to road maintenance and a more disciplined management regime around our road asset base, which that's definitely an area. We've already had discussions in the department last week about the approach to that, and to make sure that we're putting the resources in to the right areas. I mean, I think everybody recognises there's a finite amount of expenditure that we've got to work with. We could spend an awful lot more than we have available to us, and we have to make the right choices. And I think your point's right, Peter, that Douglas, with it being the capital, we need to try and lift the presentation of the town. And you know, the prom is a massive part of that, but the day-to-day roads that people travel equally need to be lifted as well. So okay, we'll agree to agree on that one.
All right, thanks, Peter. I want to go to John now. You're live with the Minister, John.
Hi, Mr. Baker. I'd like to know what the department is going to do to make up for the shortfall of revenue from road tax when you've all got us using push bikes and buses to get everywhere. It sounds like you've got an agenda against people using cars.
It's a fair point.
So let me nail that one straight away. We haven't got an agenda against people using cars. What we need is a balanced approach. Yeah, clearly, many journeys, the only sensible way of doing them is by car. But there are many journeys that don't need to be done by car. The public health benefits of more active forms of transport are well known. Public transport itself is a critical part of our response to the climate change agenda. What we need is a good mixed economy in terms of provision. So, absolutely, fully require cars and
parking. Excuse me, but how far do you expect, or how far are you wanting people to be away from their workplace to be cycling, to be getting buses? Because I know I don't want to be cycling in the pouring rain.
No.
All these places where people are going to, do they have showering facilities? Do they have changing facilities after they've cycled into work? you know, I don't want to be cycling into work and stinking of sweat in a nice summer day.
Okay, John, and that's a good point, Tim Baker, is that the Isle of Man's wonderful to cycle in between April and September. Outside of that, and again, sometimes I think people get the feeling it feels like a bit like social engineering, that the government wants us all to hop on bikes and cycle around when a lot of people just don't want to.
No, I agree, and you know, we're trying to, as I said before, promote a mixed and balanced approach. I completely agree with your comment about wanting to be able to shower. I mean, when you get to work, you don't want to be sweaty and feeling uncomfortable or not as professionally prepared as you would normally do. So cycling is one element of it. You know, for relatively short journeys, I think it's perfectly a perfectly viable option. But we did talk about walking, we talked about cycling, we talked about public transport. There's a whole range of different options there, and it's about having the right solution for the right journey, and maybe even having more than one element to your journey.
Tim Baker, MHK, is with us, Minister for Infrastructure, an enormous department which ranges from buses and rails and roads to seawalls and flood defences. And if you have anything to add, text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, or call Manx Radio.
Practical decor doesn't have to be plain, so make your home beautiful and easy to maintain with Carndean flooring from Magic Carpets. Our Carndean showroom is bursting with stunning flooring from wooden effects to ceramic and slate designs, all available in a gorgeous range of colours and patterns. So choose Carndean flooring and choose Magic Carpets to find the perfect style for your home on Clock Tower Industrial Estate, Foxdale.
Magic Carpets stand on a reputation.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Most worthwhile things in life need care right from the start. At Moore Stevens Business Sense, we know that from experience. We've coached 150 startup businesses. Our suite of services supports the very personal needs of those courageous individuals who set out in businesses of their own. Yes, we're part of Moore Global, operating in more than 110 countries, but we understand that big or small, business requires the personal touch. Trust us today to take it personally when you call on 662020.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorials' skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Motorcycling. Let's be honest, it's in the island's blood. Become part of the story with Start to Finish motorcycle training courses. From beginner to refresher and much more. Beginners learn on the new Z125 Kawasaki, supplied by Kawasaki dealership Jason Griffiths Motorcycles. Search Facebook Start to Finish IOM or contact Ben on 569 653. And when you're ready, visit Jason Griffiths Motorcycles on Balfane Industrial Estate, Ballasalla.
Manx Radio Breakfast.
And we're here every weekday with the morning's main stories.
Therefore, we're only all now opening back up again to site testing, so we all have the same problem. We all have the same sort of backlogs.
We maybe wouldn't have been in such a difficult situation when COVID struck, because we'd have already had those mechanisms in place.
That's really what we do it for. In memory of my sister, always in memory of my big sister. One foot forward, and even when it's hurting like you know what, we keep the one onward and upwards.
We'll be back in the morning with a roundup of all the main developments, the weather for the day ahead, and the latest travel news.
So join us in the morning from 7:30 for Manx Radio Breakfast, powered by Manx Telecom.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint. Furnished by Magic Carpets.
25 to 1, Tim Baker, MHK, Minister for Infrastructure, is with us. Eric, you're live on the air.
Hi, can I just ask the Minister, he said a bit earlier about you want to get people using buses. What about disabled people with mobility buggies? I did write to the Minister when he got the job, and I still haven't even had a reply from him.
Yeah, Eric, welcome. And I can absolutely say that we do want people on buses, and we do want our buses to be accessible. And in fact, I actually had a meeting this morning about with the equality team from Cabinet Office around how we move this whole thing forward. So we know the history of the issues, and we need to move forward, but we need to make our buses more accessible.
Okay, what is it you want out of it, Eric?
I want to be able to get onto the bus with my mobility scooter, which fits the criteria in England. The government with Transport for All have got a policy where they can be used, how they're used. I've also taken videos last week. I got permission from the Attorney General's office to take videos of myself getting on and off the bus with my buggy, single-decker, double-decker, and they all fit on. So we've now waited. This is 6 months. I know you had the virus thing where everybody was busy with that. It's now 6 months since I've been able to get onto a bus, and I think it's time that the bus manager did something.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not just getting on. It's about the safe storage of the scooter whilst it's on the bus. But I know this is an issue that's exercising the minds of the department, and I mean, I appreciate the particular circumstances of your case that I can't be drawn into it too much.
But in principle, absolutely, the access of public transport for everyone is what we should be aiming for.
Absolutely. I mean, we've taken the Equality Act, which was passed from memory 2017 or something like that. That was a big step forward for the island, and we need to continue to build on that.
Okay, Colin, you're live with Tim Baker.
Hi, Minister.
Hello, Colin.
I actually emailed you a fortnight ago without a reply. However, my question is, how many buses using the bus lane actually go down to Douglas, not the ones that go straight on down to Peel or Port Erin, per hour?
There's about a typical rate. There's about a dozen per hour using
per
that
hour.
Bus lane.
Is that going down into Douglas or going all routes?
My understanding is that's using the left turn at St Ninian's. It's about a dozen.
That's strange, because the other day I sat there for an hour and four buses went along.
Well, that was the specific hour that you happened to be sat there.
But you're inconveniencing the majority of motorists, where if the bus was going down that lane, the motorist would be behind him and take their turn at the junction.
The bus would also be behind any cars that were queuing there as well.
But the roads are there for everyone, surely.
The roads are there for everyone, and the department's had to, as I said earlier, mitigate the effect of 10,000 extra journeys coming southbound through Douglas. And,
Colin, do you agree with the prioritisation of public transport then?
No, not necessarily. I'm disabled anyhow, so I use my car to get into town. However, the point I'm trying to make is, you're now backing the traffic back up to St Ninian's, up to the grandstand and beyond, and the buses still can't get into that lane because the transport is there.
Well, when the traffic is backed up to that extent, your point is right. If it can't get into the bus lane, it can't access it. But the reality is, if we'd done nothing, the situation would have been far worse. We've taken some steps. People are comparing what we've got now against what they think would have happened previously. We've obviously had a period of much lower traffic over the COVID period, and that isn't actually the comparison that we can make. It's against what would have happened had the department not taken these actions. I drive through that St Ninian's crossroads most mornings around about 8 o'clock. And I've got to say, if it takes 2 or 3 minutes to get through, that's about it. So, you know, we've got to accept that there is going to be inconvenience whilst the PROM is shut. And that's why the PROM has been such a difficult scheme to progress. My predecessor Ray Harmer grabbed the scheme after years and years of talking. He got on with it and started to make things happen. We're partway through. We've got to hold our nerve and drive on and get the job done. There is going to be inconvenience. Anybody who thought that wasn't the case, wasn't living in the real world, we just need to keep pushing on with it.
Joe dropped us a note, just said, what we need, Minister, is a park and ride scheme. Every government worker should use a park and ride scheme, and then we'd save a lot of parking inside Douglas.
I think that's a really interesting point, and it's something that that very much reflects part of the game plan that I've put together with my team in the department to look at a more integrated approach to transport and smarter ways of moving around the island. I mean, we've got a huge number of people who are coming in and out of Douglas every day. The cars, as I said earlier, don't do a great deal for most of them during the day, and we need to be embracing things like park and ride, and that should allow people to make multiple choices around their journeys. So
okay, 18 minutes to one. Hello, Bob. You're live with Tim Baker.
Hi, Tim. How are we doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, it just dawned on me that why don't we employ a night shift to fix the potholes? 7 days a week, only working through the night, just as the bakers bake bread through the night for the following day. Therefore, potholes will be fixed in the morning. How about that?
Well, certainly an interesting one. It's not something I'd personally thought about, Bob, but I'm quite happy to pick that idea up and talk to the officers. And just
it's happened in the past, hasn't it, when there have been emergency repairs, they've been done in the middle of the night. Yeah. Obviously, it's going to cost a lot more money because people want night shift rates.
And quite rightly so. I mean, if we're asking people to work antisocial hours, they need to be paid appropriately for it. And there needs to be the right, obviously, protection around, you know, the safety of the workers, et cetera, et cetera. But if things like that would make a difference to the public, and if they are practical to do, then absolutely I'm open-minded to look at those sort of things. So absolutely, Bob, thank you for the suggestion.
Tim Baker, MHK, Minister for Infrastructure, is live with us. It is an enormous department.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
And more to talk about between now and one. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, or call 66 1368.
Sun, sea, sand, and seriously stylish furniture. Paradise and Gale invite you to sharpen up your summer and give your home a hot new look. Come and browse a mesmerising collection of modern and traditional furniture displayed across three fabulous floors, and find something perfect for every room in your home. And with 0% finance subject to status, plus free immediate delivery. The hottest destination this summer has to be Paradise and Gale, Michael Street, Peel. Paradise and Gale. You'll love our furniture. You'll love our prices.
Take a tip from me. You can make a lot more of your garden when you visit Ramsey Garden Centre. They've everything you need to make your outdoors magical, from seasonal bedding and perennials to beautiful roses, shrubs and more. Light up your garden with their solar lighting and get inspired in their summer garden room, all at Ramsey Garden Centre. For all your garden needs, including expert help and advice, call 816 506 or pop into Ramsey Garden Centre, Albert Road, Ramsey. Open 7 days a week.
Do you know any young people with time on their hands who could benefit from some training and support? TLC Business Solutions are now offering online interactive training sessions on life skills for people under 23. These courses are designed and aimed to build confidence, motivation, positivity, and help with time management, amongst other things. To take advantage of these fantastic courses, priced at just £20 per session, email info@tlc.co.im or call Sue on 488 639.
I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free, and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
Same milk from the same grass-fed Manx cows and the same island farms, just a different size. Milk from Isle of Man Creamery now comes in greener, plant-based metric size cartons, 55p for 500 millilitres, or a pound for a litre. New, environmentally friendly cartons in a different size, but the same delicious grass-fed Manx milk as ever. Isle of Man Creamery. Call 632000 or search us online for doorstep deliveries.
We can all do our bit to help the environment. Here at Man Waste Recycling, we tailor our services to individual businesses by providing recycling solutions for cardboard, paper, UPVC, plastics, cans, cartons and more. We'll advise you on how your business can recycle so you can help make our island even more environmentally friendly.
Man Waste Recycling.
This weekend on Manx Radio, we have another chance for you to be a big winner on our winning weekend wordplay. This time, we're teaming up with our friends at B&B Furniture to give away a Beautyrest two-drawer double bed with mattress and headboard worth almost £400. To be in with a chance of winning, keep listening all day Saturday and Sunday for the window of opportunity to open. Listen out for the code word on air, check the code word on our Facebook page, put together the famous phrase or saying, and you'll go into the big prize draw. We'll then announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So keep listening right across the weekend as we team up with B&B Furniture for Manx Radio's winning weekend wordplay.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
13 minutes to one. Tim Baker, MHK, Minister for Infrastructure, with us. And Charles, hello, you're live with the Minister.
Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Baker.
Good afternoon, Charles.
I've two points I'd like to bring up, if I may. Mr. Baker, I presume you've travelled from your central offices in government up to the Manx Radio studios. I was wondering if you cycled.
No, I actually walked up, Charles. My office in DOI is in the C terminal. I walked from the C terminal up the steps and up the road.
Admirable, Mr. Baker. I must admit, I thought I was going to catch you out there. My second point about the filter lane, mm-hmm. the bus lane. I clearly understand the need for it with scheduled bus services, mm-hmm. but I've noticed that bus, van and minibuses, which operate under a private hire licence, are using the filter lane. But I believe that private companies, which operate under exactly the same private hire licence, are unable to. I wonder if you could tell me what the difference is, please.
I'd need to go back and look at that, Charles. I'm happy to take that back and check it out. And if you're able to leave your email address with Manx Radio, I'll happily correspond directly to you on that. I'm not trying to evade the issue. I just don't have sufficient technical knowledge to answer
that. My limited belief is that they operate under the same legislation mm-hmm. governed by the RTLC. And I must admit, I have noticed that it's carte blanche for bus van and whatever vehicle they're using to use the filter lane. And my understanding is that bus lanes offer scheduled bus services. So if you could answer that for me, I'd be very much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And that's it, Mr. Baker. Admirable that you walked up this evening.
Thank you. I have to say he's not the only one. David Ashford walked up last week as well and walked back down as well. How was the walk up?
Very pleasant.
Jolly good. Before we get to Frank, I just want to ask you, at the moment you're dealing with some very senior civil servants in the infrastructure department. Obviously Mr. Longworth, Mr. Black, Mr. Robinson, they've all been there a long time. They know of what they speak. Mm-hmm. How do they feel about a new elected representative coming in?
Well, I mean, the honest answer is you'd have to ask them individually for how they feel about it. But certainly, they know me. They know what they're going to get. They don't have a choice. You know, ministers aren't elected by civil servants. Ministers are chosen by the chief minister. And I think that maybe one or two of them may enjoy the experience more than others, but what they're going to get from me is 100% commitment and some real challenge, because this is about delivering the right outcomes for the people of the Isle of Man.
Well, the Chief Minister's brought you in because he obviously thinks you've got some bright ideas.
Yeah, I think the Chief Minister recognises that I've worked really hard since I've been in Keys, that I'm committed to outcomes for the Isle of Man, and that's what it's about. That's why I stood. That's why the good people of Erin Michael elected me, and I wanted to be in the action to influence things positively rather than standing on the outside and criticising. So there's a big job to be done here. I'm thick-skinned enough to cope with it, Andy. It's not a popularity contest. And the civil servants and I will find a way of working through this, and some will enjoy it more than others.
Frank, you're live with Tim Baker. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Frank. Hello.
I'd like to ask a question. Why do you want to build a wall higher on the prom?
Okay, so the you talk about the Douglas prom, I take it, rather.
This is the one from the War Memorial to about the Empress Hotel, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's all part of the climate change adaptation. So flooding and threats from coastal situations, that was all looked at back in 2016, and obviously we know that sea levels are rising, and we need to take appropriate action to mitigate that.
It's what, just about a metre, 3 feet high?
Yeah, something. I think it's 1.2, I think, off the top of my head.
I remember in 1961, and after the 70s, that there was 25 steps walking down to the beach.
So the level...
You want to hire your wall, you just have to dig the sand away at the back.
Oh, I see. So Frank says the answer is to dig the sand away rather than build a wall.
Yeah, and that's a point that's been raised by a number of people, and including constituents from before I was involved in this role. And intuitively, as a layperson, I can see why people would say that. Actually, it doesn't make any significant difference. And in fact, actually, a more... gradual banking actually slows the it absorbs energy and actually slows the force of the waves. Mm-hmm. So this was particularly raised in Laxey, where we had a similar challenge around the fact that the beach is a lot higher than it used to be. I've actually rechecked that very recently, and the people who understand these things far more than I do, very clear that scientifically, whilst it looks appealing, that actually isn't the case. And of course, you know, in the great scheme of the sea levels, a bit of extra sand close to land it has negligible impact.
So in lay terms, if weren't one syllables, what's happened then? If Frank says there used to be 15-25 steps down to the beach around the Empress, why has the sand built up? Is it because of the battery pier that they built here? What's happened? Cranky.
I mean, the patterns of modelling tides and how the land adapts over time is a really complex piece of work. But I mean, we know there's coastal erosion going on, particularly in my own constituency around Kirkmichael, which is a big issue which we need to get on and resolve. But also around the north of the island, you see the shape of the island changing over time. If you look at maps over a period of time, structures impact flows and that impacts sedimentation, etc. So there's a whole you could probably run a whole program just on
When's the war memorial to the Empress? When's that wall going to be built?
Okay, so it's now got planning approval. It was initially turned down by the planning committee, and it went through on appeal fairly recently. That is planned for beyond the main prom scheme, so that's going to be...
Because at the moment we've got quite pretty railings. If that's going to be a solid wall, what colour will it be?
What colour will it be? I'd need to.
I'm not being flippant, but the aesthetics do matter.
The aesthetics do matter, absolutely, and that's, you know, one of the things that the planning committee and the minister, in considering the appeal and the independent inspector, took into account, and the effect on sea views, etc., etc. So these things are really important, but it'll look fine. It's just change, and the reality is we can't fight climate change and rising sea levels. We've got to take action to mitigate it. Otherwise, we just continue more problems over time.
Tim Baker, well, we're just about out of time. In fact, we haven't even talked about Ronald's Way Airport, about our own airline, the government view, open skies and what have you. You've been in now for a month. You've got how long now? 15 odd months until the next election. Will you be standing in
that?
Will you be standing in Aaron Michael?
My intention certainly is to stand, because I think the job that I came in to do is incomplete. I feel that I've acquitted myself well so far.
Do you think you can make a difference in infrastructure in 15 months?
Yes.
So next we next year the prom will be open for the tourist season?
Yes.
Okay. And the lines will, the horse trams will be running?
So the horse trams will be running, yes. The single track extension won't be in from Broadway to the Sea Terminal, but those will be coming over the following winter. That was the will of Tim Wald to do those, and we're going to deliver on that.
Now, because we haven't touched about at least half of what, would you come back sometime in the near future?
Very happy to do so, Andy.
Okay, good to talk to you. Tim Baker, MHK. Aaron Michael, MHK, our Minister for Infrastructure. We've got all the messages, by the way. Thank you for all the messages and the answer phone messages. And Tim Baker will be back with us in the near future. Thanks to him and thanks to you. Thanks to our studio producer today, Howard Kane. I'm Andy Wint, and the man in line is back at the same tomorrow. It's the 1st of July, by the way. Where has 2020 gone? You.